We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back. Andy Liu, welcome to the Pacific Catch post-game show. How you doing, my man?
Thank goodness. The Pacific Catch Light Years podcast post-game show. I mean, look, dude, it doesn't get any better. My Niners won, my Warriors won, your Raiders won. I mean, the world is right.
Not my Raiders.
The world is right. Hey, but before we get to any of that, like you were saying, Pacific Catch post-game show. So true story, I know I've been telling our followers that I was supposed to go to Pacific Catch all week. I actually did. You know what's funny, Sam? The good thing about Pacific Catch, and I've been touting the full bar. My girlfriend loves micheladas, and we went straight to the bar. We're going to go watch a movie on Saturday night. And I tell the guy, because they only have like cocktails on the menu, I'm like, dude, can you get me a michelada? Guy says yes, pulls out a full show, starts doing the whole mixed drink dance while building. I don't like micheladas personally, but just so the listeners know,
little overrated,
but Pacific Catch, full bar, greatest place on earth. And then on top of that, they have the brand new Noodle Time menu, Sam, for all the ramen lovers. They got the red curry. Spicy, they got the Hawaiian, they got the creamy miso, they got vegetarian, not for me, but people who go vegetarian. Sam, I know you're a vegetarian guy, so you know, all customizable.
New year, new me, you know, put on a few pounds, trying to slim down. Vegetarian Sam, yeah.
Oh my god. Pacific Catch, man. Shout out Pacific Catch,
dude. Warriors, are the vibes immaculate again? They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 137-114. They are back above 500, and everything looks good, right? Like today was just a fun game, a little bit of a trap game, in my opinion. Anytime you're on the road, and they start you early, it's just peak, like no one can hit a shot and that sort of thing. But that didn't happen. That might have been their best first quarter. No, that definitely was their best first quarter of the season.
They've been coming out pretty sweet in the first quarter of the last few games, but that was, Dude, that was 47 points in the first quarter. Everybody was clicking. It felt like, you remember watching I was younger than you, but you remember watching Argentina way, way, way back in the day with Luis Scola and Manu Ginobili. So back then, I was so young that I didn't really understand, you know, not that I'm this genius, but I don't understand basketball the way I do now. And back then I would watch it and I'd be like, dude, there's no way I'm looking at these guys. There's no freaking way that this team is going to be that great.
Iverson and Duncan. All those guys, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or anyone. I mean, you look at them. Look at Scola with the hair, like no chance. And they go out there and, oh my God, Fabricio Oberto. Oh my God. Every pass is perfect. He would be, actually. Scola would be a good, well, Manu would definitely be. It's just every pass is right. All the shots go, like, it's everybody. You hit everyone in the shooting pocket. Defense is on a string. There wasn't a single second of hesitation in the 12 minutes we watched in the first quarter. Not a single one. And it doesn't hurt that Minnesota's defense is a joke, right? It's just their scheme is a joke. But, Tim, I don't know, man. Like, that starting lineup offenses, it's got to be the best in the NBA and by a mile.
So I have a few thoughts here. One, statistically, it is the best lineup in the NBA. The only lineups that have better numbers than it are like small sample size lineups. Of lineups that have played like substantial minutes, like, you know, their team's go-to lineups, the Warriors starting lineup beats everyone, which is what made their start so frustrating. Cause you're like, you watched them and you're like, yeah, these guys could win a title. Then you watch the second year, you're like, and that's partially why I was frustrated, and also partially why I wasn't particularly down, because I'm like, this is a much easier fixable problem than like, we need like a second option type of problem, right?
Yep.
And I think this game just exemplified how special Draymond Green is in many ways to me. Like, Karl Anthony Towns was a first overall pick, and he's lived up to the hype. I mean, he's a perennial all-star. All your criticism of him is probably related to the fact you think he should be even better than he is. But he's, you know, consistent 25 and 12, five, four all-star teams, very efficient from every level. And I watch him and I'm like, this guy's bigger, he's more skilled, but he's just not better than Draymond, you know?
He's got a little AD in him. He's got a little AD. I think AD's better. I mean, he's better. He's better defensively, but he's got a little AD in him. I think you're talking about kind of the one people say is the dog nowadays. It's like Draymond's just, you see Draymond shoving Kat and Gobert out of the paint. By the way, saw Kuminga do that today, shoving guys out of the paint.
Oh, when Kuminga boxed out Gobert, I was oh my god, I love this. And then
Steve
and then
too, by the way.
And then we're gonna throw Gobert into there too. Three-time defensive player of the year, really good player. But they just ran him straight off the floor. Draymond's just like, you can't hang with me. We're gonna play fast, and it's over. And that's my favorite type of Warriors right there. Like, he, you know, what do you have? 19 points, 6 or 7 from the field. It doesn't really matter because they got whatever they wanted versus them. Minnesota never had a chance to guard the Warriors with this too big scheme. They looked like dinosaurs against them. And one side note, this is why I think all basketball debates are stupid. There's not a big man in NBA history who's better than Steph Curry. Like, fuck out of here with your Kareem Abdul-Jabbar takes. Like, what Kareem would look exactly like Kat and Gobert looked against these Warriors. Like, for some reason, people think basketball player, like, it doesn't evolve. Like, for some reason, basketball peaked in 82 and like no one got better for 40 years. Like, what do you think? You know? So anyway, that's a different take, but
I also to pause you there. I also agree with that because you listen to what the classic Kevin Durant can do everything Steph can do, but he's 7 foot tall. No, he can't actually do everything that's he could do a lot of things that he can do really well because he's KD and he's amazing. He might just be as good as KD overall, but he can't do the things Steph can do. He can't play the way Steph does off ball. He can't dribble the way Steph dribbles. He doesn't finish the way Steph does. He can't do a lot of stuff that Steph can do, but he can do other things. And so I think that's a part also that people don't understand is what Steph. We'll get to that too, but I mean, it was the star of the show tonight wasn't even Steph. It was just overall, like you're saying, just overall the Warriors and especially Draymond.
No one scored 30 tonight. It was such a balance. It was a balanced effort. Steph had 25 on what we would call 25, 8 assists, 11 rebounds, and what we would call a mediocre performance, which speaks to his level. You know, Clay had 21, efficient. Wiggins 17, Draymond 19. You got like Poole throwing 24 off the bench. Dante, I don't know if this is his first double digit game, but definitely his best scoring game of the night with 14 and 6 of the season. Sorry. And for me, the best story of the night was Kuminga, but it was a balanced effort across the board. You want to talk Kuminga?
Yeah, this is what the Warriors looked like last season. This is what the Warriors have looked like for years, but I think specifically to Kuminga, it is what he looked like last season, right? He just plays within the flow of what the Warriors are doing. It's what got Klay to be much more effective. It's the same thing. They're totally different player, but same mindset. Klay was out of his mind taking dumb shots, and everyone's like, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Because he's freaking insane. He started to take shots that made no sense. So with Kuminga, he got kicked out of the rotation, partly because he wasn't fitting in with what the Warriors were trying to do offensively and defensively, figures it out, the Warriors are what, 20 games in, and now I would say he probably is going to play at least 15, 20 minutes a game. And what does figuring that mean? I think offensively it means that he's cutting. He's not shooting threes. He's also not driving to look for his own shot right now. He's driving to pass, which is what Steve always wants. And then defensively, it's boxing out and just staying in front of guys. A couple times he gets blown by, but Draymond helps him out, and then he goes and gets a rebound. The dude's the most athletic guy on the floor outside on the Warriors outside of, like, him and Wiggins. Whenever they jump, they just float in the air. And so there's no reason why, like, same thing with Andrew. There's no reason why Andrew Wiggins shouldn't average 6-7 rebounds a game, right? Same with Kuminga. So he's doing all those things. I'm sure he would like to do the pick and roll and shooting stuff more. But if he plays like this, dude, I mean, that's exactly what the Warriors are looking for.
Yeah, and it's like he's so physically gifted. It's just about using it. Like, just if he stays engaged, he's top 1% wing athlete in the league. If he just stays engaged and competes, Steve can't keep him on the floor. And I think that's really all Kerr wants. He'll let him make mistakes if he's engaged. What he won't let him do is, like, jog back on defense. Like, dude, you're not, like, Steph doesn't jog back on defense, but if he did, he'd probably get a pass because he's Steph Curry, right? You know, like, if Steph and Draymond are getting back on defense at full speed, and Clay and those guys, like, you better also. So that's kind of the thing. Quote from CJ Holmes, from Draymond Green via CJ Holmes on the post game. Draymond on Jonathan Kuminga's impact in recent games. It's beautiful. You felt the impact. I know we're 100% felt and seen the impact. And reality is, what it boils down to is energy, effort, and attention to detail when you're a young guy. It's exactly what we were just getting at.
I think, you know, Draymond had another quote the other day about how it's hard for the young guys to play, but they were in a similar situation before, right? The quote essentially went viral. Everybody's like, oh, Draymond's right, Draymond. I don't know, actually. I don't know if he's right, because the kids aren't actually getting to play. So I'm not sure what style they're supposed to play, like what they're trying to figure out if they don't actually get to play basketball. So I do think it's a really tough situation for Wiseman, Kuminga, and now we see Moody, who's just not even sniffing the floor. And Kuminga's guy which is odd. But like you said, Dante's playing well. And, you know, he gets to play. And I think this situation's harder for someone who's also a top lottery pick, like Kuminga, versus what Draymond is, who Draymond's just trying to make it in the NBA. Kuminga knows that, you know, even if he doesn't progress further than what he is in the next couple of seasons, he's still going to get a second contract. Somebody's going to pay him something because of the potential and athleticism he has. Draymond, if he didn't figure it out the first four seasons,
he's going to Greece.
Yeah,
he's going to be playing for, you know, maybe he's in Israel, Maccabi Tel Aviv or something like that. Like, he's overseas, and he knew it at the time. Yeah. And I think that's what's exciting. You see kind of Kuminga buying into it. And it'll be a little up and down for sure. But it's like, I also think, I don't want to say it's easier for a wing, but I think the way the Warriors play, which I wanted to talk about this earlier, but it's like, it's always been the same. It's Steph, it's Draymond, and it's versatility around them. That's it. You know, Wiggins bought into his role and became a star as a two-way wing for the Warriors. Clay's been a star as a two-way wing. They've had Harrison Barnes, they've had Iguodala, they've obviously had Kevin Durant. Like, you will thrive if you're just a versatile player around those two. And that's the thing that Kuminga seems to be getting. He's like, I just got to run. These guys will move the ball around, and I can just dunk on people in transition. I can make plays with my athleticism and that sort of stuff. And it's really fun to watch, because I've always been bullish on his potential.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a question of, you know, how fast is it going to hit? Or is it going to be one of those things where it's like, you know, he's playing for 2027 before he makes an impact or something, you know, that, well, that's a little extreme, but like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? That sort of thing.
I don't know what is right or wrong. I don't know whether, but I know it's working now though, right? Cause like, you could argue maybe he gets here if he got the ability to play X amount of minutes to start the season. Right. But I guess the past is kind of the past. I think Kuminga's at a point where he looks happy out there. He looks like he wants to play the way that the Warriors want to play. And I think that the Warriors losing is not a good thing. In the beginning of the season, definitely not a good thing. But I think it showed, like, hey, we have to win this way. or we're not going, or we have to play this way, or we're just not going to win basketball games. That's it's just how it is. The Warriors, they're not ever going to play the Luka Doncic, the James Harden, the rest, like how the rest of the NBA plays. They're never going to do that. No. And that Marcus Thompson had a great article about having to play with Steph. And honestly, he wrote a bunch of words, but I tell Marcus this, it's like, end of the day, man, you just got to be smart enough to play basketball. And the Warriors, beginning of the season, weren't smart enough to play basketball and weren't smart enough to play basketball around Steph. And it looks like Kuminga's figured some part of it out. Anthony Lamb figured it out quick. That's why he got to play. But if Kuminga's going to figure it out, I don't think, Sam, we're going to see much of Lamb anymore. And it's good, though. It's good.
It's also nice to it's just nice that they at least have Lamb off the bench. Like the same way it was nice that they had JTA in the past. Like, did I want JTA playing 20 minutes a game? Probably not. Was it nice to have him to throw out there when everyone's dragging ass and you just need someone to just do their thing and buy into the role? Yeah, of course. Yeah. So if Anthony Lamb can be that guy for this Warriors team, that's great. And to your point, the better Kuminga plays, the less we're going to see of Lamb.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I threw out a tweet earlier today, which was the Warriors' numbers since that 3-7 start when they decided to eventually send Wiseman to the G League. 7-3, they're now 8-3. They had the second best point differential. Tonight's game definitely only improved that. And if you take out the one game in which the Warriors sat all their main guys, you could say they're 8-2 over their last 11 with their main guys. Okay. They're rolling. The point differential over those 10 games, it's not going to be exemplified in this tweet, but I could pull it up for you. It's going to look relatively similar to last year's team of a contender. And whether they're better than Boston or not, this Warriors team, as constructed when they play this way without Wiseman, is the best team in the West, and they have a very good chance at repeating. So I just want to ask you, Andy, because it's not all Wiseman. A few things have happened over that span. Wiseman obviously got taken out of the rotation. Dante came back. They had the team meeting, which Andrew Wiggins said was huge for them. And in many ways, Draymond found his voice in that team meeting. Mm-hmm. And then they tweaked the rotations. Recently, Draymond's been anchoring the second unit. We haven't talked about it too much yet. But splitting Draymond and Steph kind of lets them have one adult on the floor at all times, which is something they haven't. You know, typically they let Steph and Draymond kill everyone together, and then they try to find something that works without him. It used to be like Andre being the adult type of thing, right? My question for you is, of those things, rank them in their most in their importance. Rank the importance of those.
Okay, so I'm going to not be an asshole today, because my head tells me it's actually it feels like Wiseman getting sent down because it felt like they were playing a different type of basketball. But I'm going to go with this. Okay. I'm going to go with Clay. I'm going to go with the guy that was playing the most selfish on the Warriors. I'm not saying he's washed. Not saying he wasn't. I'm not saying he wasn't going to be the guy he was going to be even last season. I'm saying he was the most selfish guy on the team.
Sure.
For the first 15 games of the season. And the moment that he stopped being that guy, the Warriors became the Warriors again. And I think that was the most important thing. Now, you could argue maybe that was because of a Draymond team meeting or whatever, but end of the day, it was up to Clay to do it. And Clay always goes a little too far and he always comes back. And I do think he said it. He let social media get to him, which I think is funny because people always say he's not on social media. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess he's on social. Yeah, okay. You know, they say Jordan Poole's not on social media. I'm like, okay, that's a lie. I know these guys are. But at the end of the day, if that guy who was essentially dragging some of this team downwards, like we watched versus the Suns and you saw Wiggins and you saw the snowball effect of these players just kind of losing their patience with him, if Clay didn't change, I think this season could have been over quick. It probably could have been over by now. And it was always going to be up to him to fix that. And I think that since he's fixed that, the Warriors went back to playing the Warriors way. The passing, the cutting, all of that stuff. And it's made life a lot easier. Like, we don't even talk about the defense anymore. Like, the Clay is watch stuff is gone. He's making bullshit threes again left and right. He hit two today to clinch the game. It's just normal stuff. I don't know if we thought that was going to happen. My gut always told me that it was, but we don't know. And it did. And so I think that's the biggest one. That's number one by far to me.
I am going to take an even bigger cop-out answer than you. And it's all intertwined. I think the beginning of the season, there were agendas left and right. And the number one agenda was the front office forcing Wiseman to play. And he clearly was the worst player on the roster. Like, I don't know what else to tell anyone. I'm sorry if it makes you mad.
By far.
He just got 40 and 20 thrown on him in the G League. He's not ready to play in the NBA.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, when you send the message that politics are going to determine playing time, well, then maybe Clay's going to be like, I'm going to do my own thing. And maybe Jonathan Kuminga is going to be like, I'm going to do my own thing. And it permeates down the line and it makes it very hard to have a bought-in situation. Again, it's not like Wiseman particularly, but it's like the idea, it's the front office basically being like, we need to see him play. The minute you have someone going above the coach dictating playing time, it's very hard to get everyone bought in to a team setting. And so I think that set everyone off in the wrong situation. And the minute you get rid of that and just make it a pure meritocracy, you know, hey, Kuminga, you ball out like this, you play 20 minutes, you know, you box out, you do it. Then it gets everyone on the same page because we know the top end guys are champions. They're title contenders. So it's just about getting everyone aligned there. The only other thing I want to throw out is I think it's interesting that the Draymond punch, I think it's underrated how much that also led to it a little bit because I don't know if Draymond's the most vocal guy on the team. And he definitely wasn't vocal in the early part of the season because he did some dumb stuff in the preseason. You know, like I'm not making excuses for him. I'm saying if one of your best value traits is being the guy who holds everyone accountable and you're not holding people accountable because you're kind of worried no one likes you and you've lost your voice, that also hurts the team. So it's all intertwined. I think it's pretty cool. They seem like they've moved beyond it. And like, honestly, even on the Wiseman thing, if he figures it out in the G League and he can help the team in 2 months, like if he earns it, that's going to be great, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there is a little concern on my end because, the vibes are too good on this, but we're about 25 minutes in. Everyone's too happy. I do think though, even though they look exactly like they did in their 18-2 run, dude, these guys are old. Steph missed a month, and I know it was kind of a freak injury, but he missed a month. Draymond threw his back out, missed a month. At some point here, as much as the Warriors want to load manage guys, they're going to miss time. And so I think maybe they still do need somebody. They still do need some extra, right? Because it as much better as Jermichael Green has played, he's not the vets that they had last season. Dante DiVincenzo also playing very well, but not the vets that they had last season. And we'll see, you know, what Kuminga and Moody are going to give them when they start playing more into the system. So I do think an injury is going to happen, knock on wood, but that's just how the NBA goes, right? It's just these guys are playing a lot of minutes early and they're playing very hard. They're still 11-10. They're over 500, 11-10. They're not at this time last season. They're 18.
But the mid off in the West, they're like, yes. What, the game out?
Oh my goodness. So I think there's still that to be concerned about, but overall they've stabilized. I think that's the big thing. They've stabilized. Everything is kind of back to quote unquote normal with this team. Before we get to Eric Pincus' article here, the last thing that I think the Warriors need to figure out is, because I think everything's all good with these players now, is Jordan Poole. Is can he get back to being, and maybe Draymond moving to the second unit is going to help him. It seems like it has already. Is Jordan Poole going to get back to being the scorer that he was last season? They don't need him to pass. They don't need him to defend. They don't need him to do any of that stuff. Score. 24 points tonight. Buckets. Just threes. Get it to the hole. And one. Be that Jordan Clarkson type of player. That's what the Warriors need, man. And it looks like he's back the last couple games. Part of that, I think, is Draymond, but they're going to need him back the rest of the season because him and Clay were terrible. And now they look okay. The Warriors are scoring 120 plus points. Like, is it nothing, dude? So anyway,
I was going to say, I do think in the short term, Draymond going to the second unit really helps him because it's like, just having an adult to run the show. But I do kind of worry about that long term, you know, like, I don't think the Warriors paid him to just be a six man. They kind of thought he could like carry a unit. And at some point he's going to have to figure that out.
I think so. I agree, but he's young. I think if they expected him to carry, he's not there yet. He's not there, but I do think maybe a year from now, like I didn't even Steph at that age. Like I don't, well, actually Steph at that age was pretty good.
Yeah. But Steph's top 5-10 all time. So it's not a fair comp. But yeah, no. Okay. I thought you were actually segueing to this segue, by the way. Eric Pincus threw this out over the Thanksgiving weekend, and we haven't had a chance to really get into it. How the Golden State Warriors could swing a Jay Crowder deal, or what would be enough in addition to Crowder for the Warriors to sacrifice some prospects. So the gist of the article is we're a couple weeks away from trade season. I don't think anyone's making a trade before the new year, but Jay Crowder's not playing. Everyone knows he's available. People think Jakob Poeltl's available with the Spurs expiring contract slash a team who clearly wants Wembanyama more than winning right now. Could be some other players. We don't really know what Utah wants to do. They had a really good start to the season, but I feel like reality's starting to hit them. Yep. And they feel like a team who's going to unload a guy for future prospects any way you want to slice it. We talked about it earlier. It does feel like the Warriors, the core is good enough to win a title. They just need another vet, maybe two, to A, bolster the bench, B, get them there in one piece, right?
Yep. I think the big concern is they need to make it to the end of 82, man. The fact that they're not 18-2 requires them to make it to the end of 82. So what are some of the options that he mentions, right? Classic names, like you said, Poeltl, Crowder, Olynyk. I'm going to get this one take off before you go on the rest of the guys. What is this infatuation with Jay Crowder? He's not,
I like Crowder.
I don't know if I would trade Wiseman for him. I guess I would. And you got to make contracts work and all of that. But he's not a great defender. He's definitely not a point of attack either, which is what the Warriors need. He's not this wing guy. He's not like PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker is awesome. And I don't think Crowder's that guy. He's not a great three-point shooter. He shoots a lot of them.
Streaky,
exactly. And so maybe I get annoyed because I watch Crowder on the Suns and I watch him on these other teams, and he's just kind of an annoying guy, especially like Draymond's annoying, but he's great. Jay Crowder's annoying, but he's like not like I would rather have, like, again, PJ Tucker. He might be washed though. I don't get the infatuation with him. I would much rather have a Jakob Poeltl. I mean, I think that's the kind of the guy. I mean, Miles Turner, you can throw in there too. Kelly Olynyk's another guy. That makes sense. But I just think the stuff with Crowder where it's like, Let me make the trading him like a blue chip guy. It doesn't really work.
Let me make the case for Crowder, because nothing you said is wrong. He's not great at any one thing. He's just B minus good at everything that he could play in every lineup. And in my opinion, the Warriors need guys who can help them complete lineups. Like, Jay Crowder is a guy you can throw out there with Looney and Kuminga, and he's going to stand in the corner and play smart team defense and hit a couple open shots and swing the ball a little bit. You know, is Jay Crowder going to hit five threes? Probably not. Is Jay Crowder going to lock up Ja Morant? Probably not. But is Jay Crowder going to be a good team defender and be in the right place and let you play a full five-man lineup? Yes. I feel like I feel like that's his value. He's not as good as Otto was for the Warriors, but it's the same concept where it's like those type of guys, by virtue of being smart enough to fit a role, make it easier for guys like Dante, Moody, Kuminga, Poole to play their role.
I think there's a bit of Jamichael Green with him where it's like, does he actually work in the Warrior system, or is he just going to be a five? Where it's like, does he actually know how to pass or play in the offense? I'm not sure, because he spent his career standing in the corner shooting threes. So I do think there's a little bit of the Jamichael Green issue with him. I don't know, but I think the guy that they need is Pirtle. I also think that I would rather take a chance. If you're going to trade a Wiseman, I'd rather take a shot at someone like a Sadiq Bey, which is just a young wing guy. Maybe the Pistons look like they're giving up on him. He don't look like a guy that they want to play anymore. Mm-hmm. They may have to pay him, which they don't want to do. So I think that might be. I'd rather do.
Yeah,
Andrew Wiggins reclamation project type of thing.
So one, I don't hate that. I love Sadiq Bey, and he just screams a player who's going to look better in the Warriors system than in Detroit. Like, Villanova guy, Steve's gonna text Jay Wright. Jay Wright's gonna say positive things. Steve's gonna come into the office just feeling, you know, amazing that he got another good one type of thing. I like that. I do think, all things equal, I'd rather the Warriors get a front court player than a point of attack guy. I think if they get the right front court player, they can actually play Kuminga on the perimeter and have Kuminga be the guy who hounds guys the way GP2 did. And maybe Crowder's not the right front court guy, just to be clear. The idea of, like, this is, I hate to be like Otto Porter, but like Otto Porter would have allowed them to play Kuminga at the three and Kuminga just to be the guy who hounds guys, right? Because Otto can space the floor and hit shots, and he's a smart team defender and he rebounds, right? So maybe that's Kelly Olynyk. Maybe that's Kelly Olynyk. Maybe it's Sadiq Bey. Like you said, Jakob Poeltl is not that guy, but Poeltl's so good at being a center that it's worth just throwing in the reality. Like, okay, so you don't get the floor spacing for the big position you want. You get a bunch of other stuff from him that you do want, right? Like, it'd be nice to have a Poeltl Looney 48-man combo there, right?
Yeah.
But it'd also be nice to have a big that you could play with Draymond and let him play the five a little bit too.
Kuminga figuring it out does solve a lot of problems. That is one thing that that solves issues if Kuminga figures out how to play effective winning basketball.
That's my whole thing. Get me the right front court guy. Like, we call him a big, but like with the Warriors, Otto Porter's a big, right? Like, if you get the right front court guy, Kuminga can be, he won't be as good as GP2, but he can play that kind of role. I think that's better than trying to get like a backcourt guy personally.
There's also no back. I just don't think there's a guard defender out there that there's none. It's gone.
Yeah.
I don't think those guys are on the market.
Not right now. And so we'll see where it goes.
The Warriors don't need a Gary Trent Jr. I saw him. Buddy Hield's name's always out there. Don't need him. Like, why the hell do the Warriors need more of those guys?
Enough of that.
No. I would be in pain if those happened. So
just tell Clay he has a green light. You're good.
Yeah. For two of them. Like, they just need goons. That's all they need.
Yeah. But really, that's it. They just need to, like, I feel like you're in a good position when all you're trying to find is like, I just need another good goon. Like, it's much easier to find a goon than than be in the issue where it's like, I need a guy who can get me 20, you know?
Well, then the problem is, yeah, you can do that, but what are they going to give up for that?
Right. And that's you know, that's kind of the question. And do they give up Wiseman? What does Wiseman even get you? You know, like today it's not a lot. So it's like, I almost get the Warriors being like, we're not going to give him up. Like, you're just, he's nothing, you know? Do you give Kuminga? Like, no.
No, I mean, I wouldn't probably.
No. And so that's kind of the thing. And that's kind of why I don't think if a trade happens, it's definitely not happening December 15th. It's going to be like February 3rd. Like, we need another 20 games to figure out what everyone is before we get there.
Yeah.
All right, Timmy, we got some super chats.
Oh, that was quick.
Archie, next 10 games could establish identity early on. I agree. Andy, what do you think?
I think, yeah, I think one of the things that the
Warriors schedule,
if they have, it is kind of a tough schedule, which tells you that the 0-5 West Eastern Conference road trip really ruined a lot. It ruined a lot because the Warriors really only need to win two of those games. But hey, they're only 3 or maybe even 2.5 games out of second or first place. So, I like this one.
From Austin. Because,
actually, you read it out and then I'll ask you.
Wiggins MIP? Question mark. Kata or James? Question mark. Dude's physical tools are overrated beyond running in a straight line fast. Hand eye, reaction time. He has no twitch.
He does run in a straight line fast. By the way, did you watch the G League game last night? Saturday night?
Did
you watch
it? I did. Oh, that was God. People think I fire off takes based on clips and I'm not just watching everything. Like, come on, man. Anyway.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I didn't have much going on. I had a almost 1 year old to deal with. So
yeah, you know. Just like Wiseman.
By the way, shout out birthday old. Week.
Ooh.
Well, we'll save that. We'll save that for later in the week show. Almost one. But what I was gonna say is I don't know. My Wiseman take is less about his athleticism and more about it reminds me of like JaVale or Hassan Whiteside, where it's like they think like they have to think too much before they play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's there's a lot of Hassan Whiteside. There's a lot of that in his game where.
Or like Wizards JaVale too.
Yeah. There's a lot of I need to play my way because I've just always played my way and I just will not play conceptual team basketball. It's going to be a long way back for Wiseman, I think, to become an NBA player. He's so far away, especially defensively. He's so bad. All right, can we just move on to that? I don't want to either,
but I just want to put it this way. We just used the example of two guys who had very solid careers, right?
Who?
It's worth noting JaVale and Whiteside.
Okay.
They had 8 to 10 year careers in the NBA. Actually, JaVale played like 15 years.
I'd rather have JaVale than Whiteside, but yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I would too. That's not even a question. I think he's a little more JaVale because Whiteside's funny on Snapchat. But anyway, what I was going to say is both those guys were like raw physical freaks who just took a while to figure it out. And a while was 5 years, it wasn't 5 games. So that's kind of the thing I like to point out there. Like, it's probably not going to happen in 2 to 3 seasons. So we'll see, though. We'll see. All right, let's get to McWalters here. Sam, all I want is U.S. men's national team versus Iran thoughts. Not happening. Tuesday is going to be conflicting for me. I've let everyone know my heart's with Iran because of everything going on in that country right now. So if it makes people who are dealing with the situation over there feel better, I'm going to support it. Also, family and all that sort of stuff. But I also don't really want to see the U.S. lose. So it's just kind of, it's a weird vibe for me.
Who cares about the U.S., Sam? Come on. Who the fuck cares?
I'm not a hater. I like the U.S. I'm happy to have been, you know, raised in the U.S. When I look at situation Iran, everything, just another reminder of that. But what I do want to, I think it's going to be a hell of a game because I think they're pretty evenly matched.
Are the U.S. not better? I feel like the U.S. are better. Are they not better?
I mean, the U.S. hasn't won a game yet. Iran's won one.
Yeah. Are the U.S. a top 10 team?
No, not either of them. They're both. Well, I mean, the U.S. is probably a little better. I mean, someone's going to come at me being like, you're not qualified to talk about this. But
y'all have no choice.
What I was going to say is they're both kind of feisty teams. Like they don't, you know, they're not France. They don't have, you know, they don't have top flight players at every top flight team in Europe. They don't have, you know, they're not Argentina. They don't got Messi. They're not Portugal. They're not Ronaldo. They're not that kind of team. They're both kind of grinded out, you know, players with like good players. Like Iran probably has the best player between both teams. Taremi on Porto is definitely more accomplished than anyone on the U.S. But it'll be a fun one. I think what makes it fun is both teams need to win the game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's game seven vibes. Game seven vibes are the best thing in all sports. So whoever wins, it's gonna be fun to watch.
Wow. Yeah, I tweeted out the NBA comparison of Christian Pulisic because he gets bumped up. He's a guy that everyone talks about. He's good,
by the way.
Okay. And then everyone killed me. And they're just like, either he's not the best or they comp him to like, you know, some mid-tier NBA player.
It might have been Dave Dufour said Tyler Hero. And I was like, that is perfect.
It's rough.
Because
it's rough.
He's both very good and he's also no one's throwing him out there, the best players.
I mean, it's a World Cup. You know, I'm sure there are teams out there with Steph Curry and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic, right? And you're throwing out Tyler Hero.
McWalter says Pulisic is Jordan Poole, and
I mean, same guy. They're the same guy.
They're good. They're objectively good. But when it's Steph Curry versus Giannis, you know, they're six men, right?
Like, what are we doing here? So I'll be rooting for the U.S. I don't care, but I'll be rooting for them. We'll see. Anyway, all right. Let's get to the goons.
Let's do it, Archie. What's up, my man?
I wanted to let you guys know. Do appreciate the platform that you guys have. That you guys allow fans to come up, speak, get opinions off, whether we all agree or not. I think it's always really good conversation. Sometimes it comes up with stats. Sometimes it's hot takes. Whatever it is, but it's awesome to have a platform. I think you guys are very unique in that. You know, it's cool even you see certain faces, even though you don't know the names, and you're like, you're interested to hear what they're going to say because you're kind of familiar with the faces. So wanted to let you guys know that. Just in reference to today, I'm very happy for Kuminga. I've never really kind of gotten off that ship. So more playing time for him is, you know, good for him. I think he's just going to continue to learn, continue to be a sponge now that he's kind of realized that the whole scoring thing is out, just kind of focus on the small details. Towards the very end of the game, he had a cut to the basket and he dished it off to Dante. Dante missed the finish, but it was like small little details even in that where I was just like, you know, he gets it. And, you know, the scoring piece will just come naturally to him over time as he gets more reps. The big piece, the only thing I really wanted to speak about was Clay. I agree with you completely, Andy. Clay is playing within the offense, and I think what that is really doing for him is unlocking him to play outside of the offense again. When Rudy had that turnover, he pulled up. We call it a terrible shot all the time, but part of the reason that shot went in, part of the reason he was hot was because prior to that, he made the correct pass. The ball comes back to him. He gets the three. You know what I mean? He's making the correct pass to get to the assist, and, you know, Clay really unlocks a lot of things for that, you know, that our starting five. So it's really good to see him do that with all the defensive woes that he kind of had early on in the season. But I think as we just kind of continue to grow, the starters will get stronger and we'll continue to kind of figure out the rotations with the bench. And I told you I wasn't worried until like December rolled around. We're 11-10. So I think we're in good standing.
That's a great call. Andy, let's talk about this. I'm going to throw up the schedule right now. What do you think for their next 10 games here? We got Luka and the No Help Boys on Tuesday. He is really good and they really are disgusting. Like, teams got to stop building teams like this, honestly. But all right, so you got
the next. Also, they deserve it. I mean, it's like
yes, you're right.
You lose Jalen Brunson, right? You just keep going.
Yeah, Andrew Bocelli comes to Chase on the first. We'll be there. Then second. All right, yeah, Bulls, Rockets, Pacers, all at home. So that's five straight games.
Yeah.
We're 4-5-0.
Yeah, I mean, should be, right?
Is it time to throw up the 9-1 and bring Trista here?
Yeah. I mean, look at this schedule. It's not, I mean, for the listeners here that are on the live stream, appreciate all of you. It's, you know, we're looking at Boston. That's the one that, you know, I could see the Warriors winning, losing a game, maybe two in the next five. But I mean, Boston, December 10th, Sam, that's the one. 5:30. I mean, that's at home, ABC game, Saturday night. That's the one, right? Boston looks like best team in the NBA by far. And then they got Milwaukee back to back. Who looks the second best in the NBA? It's Milwaukee, right? Mm-hmm. So you get them back to back, a couple days off there.
Pacers and Indy back to back. That's tough. Yeah, you know, you go all out in Milwaukee, then you got to deal with Halliburton.
Would you bench? You know what I mean? Like, just for strategy purposes, would you just bench everyone in Milwaukee and then just go play in the Pacers the next day? Like, you know, you don't want to play one. I think the Warriors will probably go all out in the first. They always do in the first one, the back to back. But
yeah, because you got, look at it. They don't play for 3 days, so yeah, it's kind of perfect. And then right. Philly, Toronto. I mean, I could see them getting. So I'm counting this. We got 13 games to Christmas. They should go 9-4 at worst. There's a little rough road trip in here. And then they could be, you know, 20-14. Maybe they're 21-13. And now they've put themselves in a very, very comfortable spot for what was a very, very rough start to the season.
Yeah, I think the next five is crucial. I think the five to eight after that, who knows?
Yeah.
Embiid might be back. A couple of back-to-backs there. They're on the road.
No, that's a great call. Yeah.
It's tough. But right now, what's in front of them? You're looking at Dallas, Chicago, Houston, Indiana, and Utah. I mean, 4-1. I mean, 5-0 is possible. There's a back-to-back there with Chicago and Houston.
By the way, most of those are at home. Yeah, most of those, that's the big thing. You yep. can't lose to Chicago at home. You can't lose to the Pacers at home.
I mean, so. Exactly, right? Those teams are good. They're not bad. They're not tanking teams. They're good. They have good players, but the Warriors are not playing like they did in the beginning of the season. And they have game. This is what happens. This is what happens with the first 10 games. You gave up five games on the road. Damn near, you could probably say they gave up six games. There's a home game in there that they gave up. Now mm-hmm. you got to make that up. You got to make that up. And I think the next five games, say you go 5-1, now you're 15-11. You're back in it. And I don't think the Warriors are going to be a first seed this season. It looks like the fraudulent Suns are once again going to run away with the West. But you know, the rest of the West look pretty, you know what I mean? So it is the mid-off. All right.
It's dude, the one seed's going to have 48 wins at this pace.
I guess teams are going to separate, right? I think the Suns are going to separate. But, I mean, it's the Memphis. Like, they don't – are they?
Memphis, I actually think – before we get to McWalters, I think Memphis is probably the best team outside of the Warriors in the West. Like, if you were to ask me today, what's the team that you're most concerned about, it's probably Memphis still.
Yeah, it's Memphis. Like, it's Memphis.
Desmond Bane's taking it to a new level. I think he's – and – they're just good, and they also sneakily like rest a lot of games with injuries too, so their record probably doesn't display how good they are either. The Suns are out here just, you know, tryhards. Oh wow, DeAndre Ayton got a bunch of rebounds against a crappy team, like wow, you know, type of thing.
The Pelicans are they just don't know if I was right about the Pelicans. I think they can't stay healthy. That's another team that probably could have separated themselves, but BI's out again.
Yeah.
Zion's always out, and it's just like they're just a mess. Portland's falling backwards again.
Yeah, BI's a 60-game player. Like, as good as he is, it's crazy. Like there's going to be 20 scratches every year.
It's you're too young and you're too big, too athletic. Like, you just shouldn't be sending that many games out. He's out again with a toe injury. It's like, dude, what are you – anyway, the Mavs are a mess.
Hilarious they traded Anthony Davis for him.
Zion too. I mean, he tweaks an ankle. He's out for four games. And the Clippers, You know, they're a 45-win team, regardless of who's on the floor, because their coaching's that good. They have a lot of depth. But, you know, Kawhi's smiling on the bench. He played a game, then he's out again. It's like, who knows with him? Right? The Warriors are in primo focus, primo area here to make up games and kind of put themselves into the top four seeding. And, I mean, there's no other team out there. I mean, the Lakers are hot. Right?
Oh, you're not buying?
You knew.
Bro, the Lakers win a couple in a row. And my texts, you know, it's like feeling that my Laker friends are like, we're not out of it. Just right. I'm not afraid of anyone in the West. I'm like, chill out, dude. You beat the Spurs without their entire starting lineup. Relax.
Yeah, even with their starting lineup, Spurs are a terrible team. Jesus. That is. By the way, the Spurs, I mean, I make fun of OKC for tanking, but they're winning games. Doesn't hurt to have SGA. Houston's kind of, you know, they kind of told us they were going to tank, but the Spurs are just nasty. Like, they don't have a single. You could argue Jalen Green, he's a guy. Shingun might be a guy.
Oh, you're talking Rockets.
Yeah, right. But like both, right? At least Rockets are working on franchise guys. Dude, the Spurs don't have a single not a single franchise guy. It's embarrassing. I like Vassell, not a franchise guy. I don't like Keldon Johnson, but whatever. But they just don't have a guy.
Too much of a chucker for you. I know. I love Keldon Johnson. He's just another. I mean, don't let me be a GM of a team. My team's gonna be like Dylan Brooks, Keldon Johnson, Jay Crowder. It's just gonna be just a bunch of like gritty goons who shoot terrible shots.
Oh my god! It's like so much. I mean, what was I trying to say?
Steve Kerr's gonna look at me and be like, "You've been criticizing me. You what the?
You think what would Steve Kerr do with Dylan Brooks? What would be his? You know, what Bob comes
he'd
up.
He'd have him pump faking by game four. You know, just just lock in on defense. I don't want to see you shoot the ball ever. You know,
I mean, Moses Moody doesn't shoot the ball anymore. Look at him out there. He comes out and he's just turning down shots, trying to pass the ball. And they kind of feel bad for him because he's a shooter. Kuminga doesn't shoot the ball, but it's like, yeah, good. Like, you can't shoot, so stop shooting.
Yeah. At least when he goes to the rim hard, it's like, lovely. Yeah.
It's kind of rough to see Moody out there not shooting right now. Anyway,
should we get McWalters and get out of here?
Let's go.
Whenever your Laker friends bug you, Sam, just remind them the LeBron Memorial Tournament, aka the play-in, is always available for him.
Is that what we're calling it? He's been in it almost every year. The Warriors Invitational is the playoffs, and the LeBron Memorial Tournament's the plan.
Yes, the LeBron Memorial.
They created it for like the back half of his career when he only wants to play 40 games a year.
Absolutely, he gets him on TV a few extra games. That's why we made it. I mean,
that's perfect. I like it.
Absolutely, and by the way, Minnesota ain't making the LeBron Memorial Tournament. That team is trash, absolute trash. I can't believe they're going with the Twin Towers. That barely worked for the Rockets in the 80s to get them to the finals, right?
I'm gonna be honest, I thought it looked better than this. I'm watching it and I'm just like, oh, that's my worst take of the preseason by far.
Yeah, it just doesn't look like it works, right? Just how we know Wiseman doesn't work with the Warriors offense, this thing that Minnesota is experimenting with also doesn't work. They need to punt him and get picks back immediately. But who knows? They seem to be ineptly run, so that probably won't happen. but, you know, the thing that I thought was interesting is not only did Draymond get paired with the second unit, but they said that they were going to pair him and Wiggins. And I actually think Kerr doing that was a great move. It wasn't just moving Draymond to the second unit. It was giving them two solid pieces on that second unit and basically going Clay and Steph in one and Dre and Wiggs in the other. And I think that works really well. And seeing Kuminga step up today was nice. I'd love to see it for a few more games. It'd be great if we could get something like Bay for Wiseman. But, I mean, there's such a difference in salary that we'd have to take, like, Kemba Walker back or something ridiculous, right? Like, they're not going to give us a $4 or $5 million guy. They're going to make us take a bad asset back with him or give up a ton of picks. So I don't know how well that'll work, but I'm sure you'll smith something and I'll read it later with something amazing. But, yeah, that being said, the next five games, I think that's the most important thing. 4-1, it's got to happen. I mean, maybe you drop that Dallas game, but you got to win the three home games and then take care of Utah on the road before you get to Boston. And then we'll see what happens. But 4-1's got to be the minimum that we get out of that. What do you guys think?
I agree. The more I look at the schedule, 4-1 has to be the minimum here because you got some tough road trips after that. And they played with their food the first 10 games. It's time to take care of business. When Houston comes to town, it has to be a win. Pacers, who are playing very good basketball, go cross country. They're a young team. Has to be a win.
Yep.
Who else did I not throw in there? The Bulls, they're playing awful. Has to be a win. Take care of what you need to take care of, and you'll be fine. You'll be top four, top five seed, and that's all the Warriors need right now. Appreciate you, McWalters. Have a great evening. All right. Well, then, we're going to end it there. Appreciate everyone. Andy, we'll be back after Dallas, yeah?
All right, brother.